Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. It's good to be in His presence. How many have sensed the presence of God this morning? I'll tell you, man, God's doing some great things. Amen. God is leading and guiding hallelujah. All week long, just can't seem to get it out of my spirit. It hit me on Wednesday. God wants you to know that He wants to give you dreams and visions. Is that okay for me to tell you? I'm going to say that. He wants to give visions and dreams. And we're going to talk about that this morning because I believe that God is pushing us, trying to get us to move into the direction He wants us to go. Is that okay? Hallelujah. I know I say this, is that okay a lot? Is that okay? But what I'm saying to you, I really do believe that God has a place that He's taking us. Hallelujah. And it's going to take each and every one of us. Is that okay? Amen. There it is again. Yeah. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, brother. Hallelujah. So if you will, let's turn our attention to the Word of God and let's go to, it's Luke. The book of Luke. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 5. Hallelujah, Jesus. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. How many know that? How many know? Hallelujah. He is the King of all kings. Amen. Hallelujah. And He's the Lord over everything. Is that right? The Bible says the kingdom of God rules over all. That's Psalm 103. The kingdom of God rules over all. Amen. Let me say amen to that. Hallelujah. God's kingdom is rules. It's the ruler. Amen. Hallelujah. And it's got a king. Oh, man. And His name is Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Everybody there? Matthew. Okay, I was just checking. Luke chapter 5, verse. To be real honest with you, I'm not there. There you go. Luke chapter 5, starting at verse 17. The Word of God says this: Now it happened on a certain day, as He was teaching, that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by, who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Amen? Yes. Praise God. Then behold, men brought on a bed a man who was paralyzed, whom they sought to bring in and lay before Him. And when they could not find how they might bring Him in because of the crowd, they went up on the housetop and let Him down with His bed through the tiling into the midst before Jesus. When He saw their faith, He said to them, said to him, Man, your sins are forgiven you. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, Who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, He answered and said to them, Why are you reasoning in your hearts? Which is easier to say, Your sins are forgiven you, or to say, Rise up and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. He said to the man who was paralyzed, I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. Verse 25 says, immediately. Immediately he rose up before them, took up what he had been lying on, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. And then verse 26 says this, and they were all amazed, and they glorified God, and were filled with fear, saying, we've seen strange things today. Amen? Hallelujah. Get to hang around Jesus a little, and you're going to see some stuff. Is that right? Jesus is going to show you some stuff. Stuff you weren't even expecting. Amen? Hallelujah. These guys had a friend. This guy had some friends, and apparently they loved him. Is that right? And they thought, you know what? We need to get you to Jesus. So when they couldn't make it through the crowd, excuse us, people said, hey, man, go around. I don't know what they were saying. They decided to go up to the top, climb up the roof, drag him up on the roof, peel some of the tiles back, and lowered him down into the room. Get some rope, man. We're gonna lower him down right in front of Jesus. And when Jesus sees it, he goes, hey, man. Sees their faith, and he looks at the guy and goes, man, your sins are forgiven. And immediately the religious folk, how many of those religious folk out there? You know, the religious, oh, man, you can't say that. Who do you think you are, Jesus? Come on. Jesus tells him something very cool. He says, hey, what's easier, to say your sins be forgiven you or rise up and walk? What's easier? Your sins are forgiven you, is that right? Can they tell? There's no way they can tell. That's why it's easier to say that. But then he says, because, so that you might know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, so that you know, rise up and walk. And immediately the guy gets up, carries his bed out, and goes home. Come on. Rejoicing. Amen. Praise God. I want to bring a couple of things to you. And it's in verse. One of the things is verse 17. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. I'm going to just look at that just for a second. That's kind of a strange verse, just kind of sits right out there in the middle. Is that right? And then another part in the verse, in the story, Jesus tells them, so that you might know that the Son of Man has power to forgive sins. Calls himself the Son of Man. I want you to look at these two and say, you know, why would he say the Son of Man instead of the Son of God? Here we had the Son of God in the midst. I love this. And he says, so you know that I have power to receive to forgive sins. He calls himself the Son of Man. Do you know that's for us? He said the Son of Man for us. Listen. Because what he's demonstrated, what Jesus came to do, was to demonstrate how a man of God is to operate in the earth. Is that crazy? That's cool, man. God wants to show you this is how a man of God in 2017 can operate. Is that cool? So he calls himself the Son of Man. Hallelujah. And then back to the other verse where it says, and the presence of the Lord was there to heal. Is that what it says? You see, Jesus didn't do anything different than what he's called us to do. Amen. He never went out of the boundaries and just healed folks if we couldn't do it. Everything that he did, do you understand this, was so that we would learn and know how to operate as a man or woman of God in the earth. So it says, very pointedly, it says that the presence of God, it says this, the power of the Lord was present to heal them. What's his name? The Holy Ghost. When did he come? Do you remember when John the Baptist, when Jesus and John the Baptist, when John the Baptist baptized Jesus? And when he stood up, he said, I saw the Spirit descending upon him like a dove and lighting upon him. You see, Jesus didn't do anything different than how he called us to do it. Jesus did everything in the earth with the Holy Spirit. He never exercised his position as the Son of God to do anything, because that would not be fair to us, because he came as an example to us. So what he came was as an example of who man is, and the Holy Spirit began to do the work. So the presence of God was, oh, do you get it? Hallelujah. You see, let me just say this to you. We are in the age of the Holy Spirit. Do you know that? This is the time where the working. We are in continuation of the Acts of the Apostles. Do you know that? God is still doing, still performing, still moving, still giving dreams, still giving visions, if you will. Do you understand that? If you like that, say amen. Help me out here a little bit. Come on. Come on, man. Hallelujah. Isn't that right, David? Come on, bro. Help me out. Amen. Come on. Hallelujah. God's doing stuff. And he's got lots more to do. Praise God. I want to take you to Acts chapter 1, verses 4 through 8. Hallelujah. We're talking about the Holy Ghost this morning. Amen. I mean, some of you might not be used to, hey, man, don't get upset. Don't get skeered. Is that a good word? Skeered? Hey, we're going to talk a little bit about the Holy Spirit. Is that okay? How many know we need the Holy Spirit? How many know the Holy Spirit is the one that drew you to God to get you into the kingdom? How many know that? Hallelujah. So he's a good guy. Would you believe it? Come on, man. He's a good guy. Praise God. Hallelujah. We're going to read chapter 1, verses 4 through 8. This is what it says. Being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which, he said, you've heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it's not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. Verse 8 says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Hallelujah. Verse 4, he says, do not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father. Wait. The key word, wait. Is that right? The key word here is wait. In the King James, it says, tarry. Tarry until you be endued with power from on high. So it says in the King James. It's wait. It's wait. Everybody say wait. 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 Just wait. Hallelujah. But you know what's funny about men? We don't like to wait. Is that right? We got this problem with waiting. Amen. Patience problem maybe. But we don't like to wait. We don't want to, God, we don't want to wait. We want to go. We want to go. We want to go, God. We believe in Jesus. We're going. Let's go. Jesus said to wait. Do you see that it says that he commanded them? Hallelujah. You know, Jesus told them, he said, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. But see, we don't want to wait. We don't want to, we just want to go. Can I tell you that I really believe this is the reason why we have so many denominations in the world today? Because men would not wait on God. See, the Spirit of God, he is not the author of confusion. How many of you know that? How do you know that God, the Bible says this, a house divided cannot stand. Do you know that? And so the Bible says, the Word of God says, there is one God, one Spirit, one Son, one church. How many of you know that? Ooh, come on, man. I won't mess up a little of your theology today, but I'm going to tell you something. God is talking to us. He said, hey, man. I am tearing down the dividing walls. Those that do know the Lord, they're going to come forth. They're going to shine. But those that are playing church, playing church. Anybody playing church? Come on, I know no hands. Good, praise God. I'm happy. But those that are playing church, hallelujah. Because it's by the power of the Spirit. He said to wait. To wait until you be endued with power. Is that right? Hallelujah. I waited for a year. Not in one place. But I waited. And I waited. When I heard about the gift, I believed. God said, God, I believe it. I believe it. You give I believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I believe it, God. I believe because it says it in your word. Not because anybody's told me, but because I could see it with my own eyes in the word of God where it says, wait and you till you be endued with power. That's okay. Oh, wait, Lord. Feeding my horse. One morning, I don't remember what day it was, but I was happy. Is it okay to get happy? I don't know what I was singing. What a fellowship. What a joy divine. You know that song, huh? Sorry, man. Old song. I don't know what I was singing, to tell you the truth. But I grabbed a bale of hay. I grabbed not a bale of hay, but a leaf of hay. And I went over to feed a horse and a cow that I had. Tossed it over the fence. And out of my mouth came this bubbling. I don't know. And I smiled. And I took off back in the house, called my pastor. I said, Pastor Dave. He goes, yeah. I think I spoke. I think I got baptized in the Holy Ghost. He goes, two things I'm going to tell you. Hang up the phone and get back out there and keep doing what you're doing. And I have, and it's been happening every day since. I've had those thoughts. This isn't real. This ain't real, but oh, it's real, folks. It is real. There was a time when my wife had gone. The river was running. The bridge where we live was washed out. We had to go through these back roads. And Jonathan was an infant. And when Rosie went to work, I was laid off. I was Mr. Mom for a year. Cool, huh? So anyway, Rosie went to work, and I went in the bedroom, and I picked up Jonathan, and I said, well, I'll pray for this guy. So I started praying. And this, but next thing I know, I'm weeping over this young man. Oh, praying, God, you know, I'm just praying like crazy. Something is just rolling out of me for a few months. They go, wow. I really prayed. Put him back in the bed. He's going to have a good praise God. That's the way he is, the way he is. Yeah, I said, I praise God. Rosie was run off the road. And what I was praying for, I thought I was praying for my son. I was praying for my wife. Because God knew and he needed me to pray. I had no idea what was going on, but he did. And I thank God for that. It's a real deal, folks. It's real. It's real. It's real. Oh, it's sure it's real. I know it's real. You don't know that song either. Come on, folks. God. Hallelujah. God, I raised you better than that. I love you, man. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's go to Joel chapter 2, verses 28 and 29. Word of God says this, it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour my spirit out on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit on those days. Folks, we are in the days where he's talking about. He is pouring out his spirit. Hallelujah. And he says in the Word of God, he says that he's gonna give dreams and visions. Is that right? And notice those are plural words. Notice it's not just one dream. It's not just one vision. But he'll continue to give you dreams and visions. He'll show you. How many of you know we need to know where we're going? Nobody knows that. I'm going to tell you, we need to know where we're going, folks. We need to know a direction. We need to have a direction. A man without a direction, the Word of God said, if the blind lead the blind, they'll both fall where? Into a ditch. Is that right? So we need to have some kind of vision. We need to know where we're going. Hallelujah. Oh, man. God wants to take you. He wants to take you in your imagination, in what he has given you, and show you just a little bit of what he might have for you. Is that okay? God wants to minister to you by the Spirit in a vision and a dream so that you can understand his call that he's placed on your life, that he put in there the day that you were designed in your mom's womb. He designed something in it. Oh, man, this young man. Can you see God forming and by the Holy Spirit? Come on, this young man's going to be a preacher. Yeah, this guy's going to stand before thousands. Amen? Hallelujah. And his name, Billy Graham. Come on, man. And his name, hallelujah. 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 Dreams and visions. John chapter 16, verse 13. Let's go to that. The book of John. chapter 16, verse 13. Mm-hmm. So Jesus it's getting close for the time of his departure when he's going to go to the cross. He's going to die for each and every one of us, getting ready. But he's telling his disciples, says, look, he goes, wait for the promise. Wait for the promise. He says, when he, the Comforter, has come, he'll lead you and guide you in all truth. And I want you to show you this. In verse 13, it says this. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. He will tell you what? Things to come. Things we're not even thinking about. He wants to tell us about those things. Is that cool? That's the Holy Ghost. That's what he's here for. That's his job. To show you things that are coming towards you. To help you. To lead you. To guide you. Hallelujah. And he'll never lead you wrong. Hallelujah. Men might lead you wrong, but the Holy Spirit will never lead you wrong. He is a counselor for you. He is someone that will comfort you when you have problems. Amen? Hallelujah. You're here today because he led you here. Is that cool? Hallelujah, Jesus. Show you things to come. There was a pastor here in Green Valley, and he called me up, and he goes, hey, I'd like to have dinner with you. I said, sweet, are you buying? And no. But he says, yeah. He goes, why don't we meet down at the family restaurant down there? I said, oh, cool. All right, we'll go down there. So we're sitting at the table, and he asked me, Henry, I know you don't know anything about me, but so I want to just tell you a little bit about myself. And this brother had some stuff. He had, he'd been to like 3 or 4 colleges, Bible colleges, and was ordained in this and that, and a lot of stuff. And I thought, praise God. Man, just a genuine man of God, loves God with all his heart. And he goes, now, I'd like you to tell me a little bit about yourself. I go, okay, okay. Well, I worked in the mine. No, well, is that right? I was a miner. And I said, what I don't have is what you just got through speaking to me. But I do have an ordainment, if that's okay. And he goes, he kind of looked at me kind of funny, kind of, well, okay. So I felt like he might want to throw me out at that time. But I would have been stuck with a check. Hallelujah. But I began to tell him about, these are my credentials. This is where I stand. My credentials are not, and I will tell you this, folks, I need to bring this out every year, I believe, because there's a lot of folks that don't know me, don't know who I am, don't know the man that's pastoring this church, so I just need to let you know about the credentials that I have. And these were given to me not by men, but they were given to me by God. And so I began to talk to him, and I said, well, there was a time in my life where I was just seeking God and just had to have an answer from God. And it's kind of a long, long story. And I don't really want to get into that long story, but I'll just tell you that I was seeking God with all my heart. The Word of God says in Jeremiah that when you seek God with all your heart, you know what you're going to do? You're going to find him. You will find him because you sought him with all your heart. You say, God, I just got to know. God, it's almost like you don't want to eat it all anymore because I want to know, God, what it is. What is it? And I was seeking for a vision. I was asking him specifically, God, I got to have a vision. Because if I don't have a vision, those young people, I was a youth pastor at that time, those young people, if I don't have a vision, I'm going to take them all into the ditch. And I'm not going to let that happen. So God, I'll tell you, I'll make a deal with you, God. Sunday, if you don't give me a vision by Sunday, I'm out. I'm out. I'm running. Hallelujah. I'm crying. And the Lord gave me I kept flashing a verse in front of his face. How many of you guys ever done that? Come on, God, you said you're going to do this. I kept flashing. The Bible says that without a vision, people perish. Amen? Without a vision, people perish. And I'm crying and telling him that, and the Holy Spirit said to me, read the rest of the verse. And the rest of the verse says, but whoso keeps the law Happy is he. This is Proverbs 29:18, I think. I'll have to look it up. Whosoever keeps the law, happy is he. So when I heard that in my spirit, I go, well, there's only one that ever kept the law. How many know that? Amen. What was his name?
Jesus.
He's the only one that could keep the law. And when I thought, well, Jesus is the only, all of a sudden, all these scriptures about who Jesus was, how he has redeemed us, how he took our sins and washed them away and put new clothes on us and cleaned us up. And I said, oh, my vision is Jesus. Praise God. I said, I went and told my pastor, hey, my vision is Jesus. Nice. About time, you know. No, I was so excited about it. I just couldn't believe it. It was like a revelation to me. You guys ever had a revelation from God? I mean, that's what it felt like, and it was crazy. So, I was at work a week later, and working in number 5 compressor room. You know where that's, Johnny? Number 5 compressor room. And there's a compressor there, and there's a lot of conduit and piping and stuff on the wall. And I had just got through taking a look at the oil and everything. That was my job. It was loud in there, and I had earmuffs and everything. And when the machine's running, I could just scream and praise God, and nobody would hear you. It's just noisy. But in the middle of that, I'm just worshiping God, and I look towards the wall, and where the wall had all piping and conduit and all sorts of stuff, it just looked like somebody had sheetrocked it, and it was just white, And I'm standing there looking at it, and while I'm looking, I began to see things. But before I tell you this, in Isaiah chapter 7, can you put up that scripture? Isaiah 7. Verse 3, it says, "Then the Lord said unto Isaiah, Go stand now to meet Ahaz, thou and Shear Jashub thy son, at the end of the conduit of the upper pool in the highway of the fuller's field." This scripture had haunted me for years. Every time I'd read this scripture, something would happen on the inside of me. I didn't know what it was. I kept thinking, God, what are you saying? And I'd read past it, and I'd start feeling that go away. So I'd go back, and because I love the presence of God. How many know when you're reading, sometimes the presence of God just comes in on you. You just, oh, my God, Lord. And so I'm reading this thing. I go, God, what are you saying to me? What are you saying to me here, God? Please tell me what you're saying. Not a word. He just wouldn't say. And then here it is. Years later, I'm praying in this machine room. And what God began to do was show me what he was saying in this scripture. And the first thing he showed me was that he showed me a pool. See where it says the upper pool in the highway of the fuller's field? He goes, go and stand at the end of the conduit of the upper pool in the highway of the fuller's field. So if you can, put up that pool. Hallelujah. Hopefully. Glory to God. Yeah, hallelujah. Here's this pool. I mean, we just kind of trying to put it together yesterday, so I just make it a little bit clearer. So here's this pool, and I'm looking at this thing, and I'm looking at that pool, and then I see this pipeline. And I see a man standing at the end of this thing. You remember this is going to stand at the end of the conduit of the upper pool. And then he says, in the highway of a fuller's field. And this is basically kind of what I saw. I saw a road that was going through what looked like these rows of corn. It looked like a cornfield. And I'm looking at that, and I'm just kind of going, and like I say, this is in a machine room, and it's noise, and I'm going, what am I looking at, God? And all of a sudden, I begin to see the water move out of that pond, that lake, and it runs into the man. And then it goes, I could see it hit him in the back, but then as it hits him in the back, I could see it actually rolling around on the inside of him. And then it begins to head up towards his mouth, towards his throat. And he opens his mouth and he begins just to, it's like he's watering this cornfield. And as I'm looking at it, I'm going, oh God, what are you saying? And that's when I remembered the scripture, go and stand at the end of the conduit in the highway of the fuller's field and say, that highway. How many of you know it's a highway? Straight. How many of you know the Word of God? I can go into a lot of stuff that I saw in this, but you know, the Word of God says straight is the way and narrow is the gate. Narrow is the gate that goes to the kingdom of God. It's a straight highway, just straight as can be. Either side of that highway, I saw this, what looked like corn. When I saw them, they were this way. When he began to speak, they began to grow up. They began to pop up. And I'm looking. I said, my goodness, what's going on? And I sensed the presence of God in what he was showing me. But I didn't realize what he was beginning to tell me. And while I'm watching and I'm seeing this, God is showing me a vision. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. Every one of us need a vision. We all need to know what God has for us. And you know, I got to just tell you that he has it for you. He's waiting for you to say, come with me. Come to me with all your heart and all your mind, and I'll show you. I'll show you great and glorious things that you don't even know about. He says, Jeremiah 29:11. Is that right? What does Jeremiah 29:11 say? I know the thoughts that I have for you. For every one of us in the house. I know what those thoughts are that I have for you, is what God says. Thoughts to advance you. Thoughts to help you and to bring you to an expected end. Whose expectation? Our expectation? No. His expectation. For his expectation. Praise God. Hallelujah. And I'm looking at this and I'm real, and finally it's he's given me a vision. I thought this was for my youth group. Praise God. I had a lot of things I thought about this, and when he showed it to me, I thought it was for my youth group. I went and told my pastor. I said, Pastor, I got a vision. He says, I thought you got one last week. I did. I probably looked like one of them crazy guys. I got me a vision, Lord. I mean, God, Pastor, it's a real man. He showed me this, and I told him the whole story just like I told you. And he looks at me and goes, nice. You want some coffee? I got a little upset. I said, God, he didn't get it. God, he didn't get it. He didn't get my vision. Come on, God. He's my pastor. He didn't get my vision. And it's funny because the Lord began to talk to me. He says, you didn't know what it was before I showed it to you. What makes you think he's going to get it? See, God revealed it to me. And God does everything by revelation. How many of you know that? The church is built on revelation. What he shows you. You're built on what he shows you. Hallelujah. Oh, man. Hallelujah. When he finished showing that to me, he gave me this scripture. Because you put up 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. This is what the Lord said. He actually spoke verse 2. But he says this, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. And verse 2 is the words that I heard the Lord saying to me when he gave me my vision, when he gave me that vision. It says, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And I've been a youth pastor for a while. I said, God, I can do that. I can preach the word. I can be instant in season. And yeah, when I'm at the car wash or some gas station, I can be out of season. Somebody needs the word of the Lord. I can do that, Lord, as long as you help me. How many know it's important that we always say to God, God, if you help me, I'll do it. I'll do it, Lord, if you help me. As long as you help me, Lord, I'll do it. I'll do it. But you know what scared me was the rest of it, where it says, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering. I said, God, I don't know if I can do that. I can't do that. I don't want to do that with people. I don't think I... Lord, I... And he said, hey, the same way, I'll be with you. I'll do it with you. I'll show you. Oh, God, okay. I had no choice. So when I got through talking to this pastor at the table, that the man's weeping and crying. And he goes, I don't have an ordainment like you've got, brother. And he goes, I'm going after my ordainment that God has for me. Yes. And I mean, you know, I praise God. And folks, that's what we're under here. We are under a vision that God gave to a man. And you know, that vision of that person talking, I thought that was me. Heady, high-minded guy, huh? It was not me, man. It's the call. It's the call to each and every one of us. Every one of us to be filled with that water of life and preaching it and speaking it out in the city and now the byways and wherever we go. And that, and God bringing strength to the body of Christ. It's not me. It's about what He wants to do in the vision. Isn't that crazy? Hallelujah. Folks. And the visions, God is giving visions and dreams to whosoever desires to know what God is doing. God, what are you doing? How many of you ever asked God, what are you doing, God? Have you ever done it? He says, let me show you. Come after me. Come here. Come in. Open your door. Open the door. Come in and close the door. And let me begin to show you these things. Folks, it's called prayer. Do you remember when Peter was up on the housetop and the Bible said he was praying and the Lord, he said all of a sudden he sees this like parachute coming down, but it's upside down. When it falls and it hits, he sees all manner of beasts and everything, and he hears the Lord say, rise, Peter, kill one and eat it. And the Lord, and Peter goes, no, Lord, not so. My lips have never touched anything that was unclean. And the Lord shows it to him three times. And he says, what I have cleansed, don't you dare call unclean. Amen? Yeah. A vision. A dream. Some of you, God's been giving you dreams. God has been speaking to you. Hallelujah. Don't forget your dream. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, I think that's what Rebecca was saying a little bit this morning. Go after the promise. Whatever it is, take a hold of it and go after it and say, Lord, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to follow you. I'm going to get a hold of this thing. Hallelujah. Just like Jacob. Remember when he wrestled with the Lord? And he said, Lord, I will not let go of you till you bless me. Till you bless me, Lord. And the angel says, your name is no longer Jacob. Your name is now Israel. Hallelujah, Jesus. John chapter 3, verse 21. We're going to read this in the Amplified, so I'm hoping the guys... Have you guys gotten the Amplified? John chapter 3, verse 21. It says, but he who practices the truth, who does what is right, comes out in the light, so that his works may be plainly shown to be what they are, wrought with God, divinely prompted, done with God's help, in dependence upon Him. I'm going to tell you something. That whole back three or four verses, folks, that's me. Because I do live underneath a thing that says I am not qualified to do, God, what you've got me doing. But I do live under this divinely prompted, done with God's help, and dependent upon Him. Folks, I'm dependent upon Him and Him alone. Him alone. Him alone. And in that brings comfort. Do you know that? I'm comfortable with that. I'm comfortable. Although every Sunday morning I'm jittering like, okay, I've got a preacher and I've got 3 minutes left. The song's almost over. Okay. Praise God. But God's presence begins to work. Begins to push on me and say, God, hallelujah. I thank you for what you've done for us. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. One more verse. Hallelujah. Philippians. This is our power verse. Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Hallelujah. The word of God says this. Brethren, I do count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and what does it say? Does it say reaching? Is it what it says? Reaching. Do you know that it takes energy to reach? You got, anytime you reach for something, it's going to take some energy. And God, this is what I do. He says, reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the what call? Upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Folks, we need to be pressing forward. We need to be reaching for the things that God has for us. And folks, I'm going to tell you, prayer is a key. It's a real key to get what you want, to get what God wants for you. It's a key for you. Go after God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. And you'll begin to see that He's moving things, shaping things, and bringing you things that you never thought possible. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Hallelujah. Could you stand up? Hallelujah. Could you stand? Hallelujah. Praise God. Let me just... Every person in the building God is speaking to this morning says, I've got something for you. I do have something for you. Every person in the building. Hallelujah. Call is sure. The Word of God says this in Habakkuk. It says this. The vision, your vision is yet for an appointed time. And though it tarry, wait for it. We don't like to wait. But the Lord says it will tarry. But wait for it will surely come to pass. It will surely manifest itself. And you will see and you will know. And you will say, oh, the Lord is good. And His mercy endures forever. Hallelujah. Father, I thank You for my brothers and sisters, Lord. I thank You, Lord, for what You're doing in their lives, Father. This morning, Father, I pray, God, that You would, Father, pour upon them once again Your Spirit. Give them visions, dreams, Father. Cause them to prophesy, not just in the house, but wherever they go, cause them to speak Your word to the lost, Your word to the hurting, Your word to the sick, Lord. Cause them, Lord, to rise above all the things that they've been going through, Father God, and fill them, Father, with Your love and Your joy. For Your kingdom is not in food or drink, God, but it's in righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Holy Spirit, we thank You this morning. We give You praise and glory and honor. Father, thank You for my brothers and sisters, Lord. Send them, Father God, to do that which You have planned for them for this week, next week, the week after, the month after. Father, in Jesus' name I pray, if you agree, say amen. Hallelujah.